Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
To talk about the Indiana side of things, we have to go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and welcome on the host of the Locked On Pacers podcast. He covers all things professional basketball in Indianapolis. The great Tony East joins us now. Tony, welcome to the show.
Happy to be one of the only people probably on this show the last couple weeks not talking about Sanders or the NFL draft. This should be fun.
I mean, if you have any of those takes, we will.
Yeah, we will take them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not, like, super into the NFL, but I was locked in on that. I thought it was such a fascinating story. So I did find it interesting. I'll give credit to the storyline for being compelling.
I actually like you not being that into the NFL. It's going to up your NBA credibility with us here today, Tony, because we need someone that'll just be like, eh, who cares about the juggernaut that is football? I do hoops and hoops only.
Yeah, like, if when, like, football rolls around in September, you're like, they still do that? That makes you all the more valuable to us as a basketball guest.
I keep up. I went to Indiana University, so I keep up with IU football. They're finally good. I guess I every once in a while I'll see what the Colts are doing because they're here. But yeah, since Peyton Manning left, I haven't really followed the NFL that hard.
Fernando Mendoza is going to be the number one pick for the Cleveland Browns next year. Get ready, and then we'll have you on to talk Fernando Mendoza.
I like that you just chuckled at that, not acknowledging you know anything about that player that Nick just mentioned that's going to be your quarterback next year. I like that.
I'm assuming this is a QB joke because it's the Browns team, so I can get a chuckle at that.
Good basketball guest. I like this.
Remember who told you about Fernando Mendoza coming up in a couple months here. So looking to the Pacers side of things, who are the Pacers? What are, when the Pacers are at their best, who are they?
Yeah, they kind of play like the Cavs in terms of the fact that their identity at their best is being a very good offensive team. You know, the first best offense in the playoffs so far is the Cavs. The second best is the Pacers. Last year, the top offense in the NBA during the playoffs was the Pacers. They scored easily against everybody. Even in the series they lost to the Celtics, they got swept. Joe Mazzulla said, like, yeah, that was our hardest series. Like, guarding them is really hard. The way they play is really tough to contain. And so this season, the reason they're the fourth seed is they started really slow. Tyrese Haliburton started slow. They weren't the team that everybody thought they would be. But once he got into gear, they've been spectacular. They have a top five record since, you know, early December. And when they get rolling on that end of the floor, they're just so hard to stop. The Bucks had about one half of success playing defense against this Pacers team. Now, they don't have the offensive ceiling that Cleveland has, but the fact that they have that level of scoring ability and a capable defense, they finished 14th, I think, in defensive rating this season, is how they got this far with a team that, you know, no one considers having any kind of superstar-level talents, but they play very well together, and they play an offensive style that's really tough to guard. It's gotten them through lots of series.
Yeah, it feels like anyone we talk to in relation to the Pacers, they just want to tell us about this, like, I don't know, is it a flipping of the switch or how different this team has been over the past couple months? What happened there?
Yeah, the bigger part of the story is that Tyrese Haliburton's start to the season was bad. Like, he would tell you that himself. He couldn't make threes. His assist numbers were down. He couldn't get in the paint. He described it as, like, not losing joy for basketball, but he needed to recapture it. You know, we've heard that quote a lot from players who are really slumping. Like, it just kills them mentally. So that was part of it. The other part of it, they were really injured. Like, it was their only stretch of the season where they dealt with significant absences. As soon as they got Andrew Nembhard and Ben Shepherd back from injury, their defense really picked up. And, you know, the Cavs are like this too. Like, when the Pacers get in transition, they're just lethal. They're so hard to stop. And so getting defensive players back and Haliburton sort of recapturing his form at the same time, they just took off out of nowhere and they were beating everybody. I mean, they had that game against the Cavs in Cleveland that I still think many people in your area would call that the worst game the Cavs played the entire season, probably. I think they scored 93 points or something that night, and the Cavs kicked the Pacers' butts two nights later. But, you know, that still was a game that happened, and, like, they were rolling to that level through a lot of December and January. The only reason people bring it up so much is, yes, I think that the 4 or 3 seed's probably where the Pacers belong, but their record and their general profile isn't really reflective of the team that they've been for the last, like, 6 months now of time. They're a better team than the numbers suggest, even if they're not quite maybe in that elite tier of groups yet.
Tony, when it comes to Tyrese Haliburton, is it better to focus on shutting down Tyrese the playmaker, where he helps everybody else out, or trying to shut down Tyrese the scorer?
Yeah, most teams go the route of Tyrese the scorer when he's at his worst, I would say. But that's not even, like, the perfect way to put it. Like, he loves to get in the paint, regardless of if he's going to be finishing his own shot with a floater or a layup, or if he's going to be distributing. He calls it paint to great in terms of great shots. That's what the Pacers coaching staff calls it too. The absolute best defenses against the Pacers, for whatever reason, whatever their scheme is, if it's a good zone, if it's really good switching, two things the Cavs do well that keep him out of the paint, or, like, keep him elbows and out, that's when he's at his worst. And he has a lethal kind of step back three, but he doesn't like going to that all the time. He wants to get a better shot than that if he can, working through the reads of a possession. So the second half of Pacers Bucks game three, the Bucks switched almost everything. The Pacers were moving side to side too much. They got awful shots. They got run out of the gym that night. They lost by almost 20 points. You know, the zone defenses have at times given the Pacers fits. Even the Cavs, the second half of the game, they beat the Pacers when both teams were actually trying. They ran the Pacers out of the building, albeit without Haliburton, with a zone and with switching defenses. So that's how most teams try to do it. It isn't necessarily about taking away one thing or the other, but of those two, it's more about the scoring aspect. I think the Pacers went 22-3 this season when Haliburton had over 20 points in a game. Like, if you shut off his water, you're forcing other guys to beat you. But he is so naturally pass first that cutting off his scoring and cutting off his ways of getting to the cup is also cutting off his distributing in a lot of ways.
Help us settle a debate then. Where do you rank the top 5 players in this series? Who are those players, and use them in the 1 to 5 order for us?
Yeah, I mean, you guys could rank the Cavs players better than me. I mean, I've thought at times Mobley was their best player this season. At the start of the year, it was Garland. So I would probably say Mitchell, Mobley 1, 2, Haliburton 3, and then 4, 5 is some order. Garland, Siakam. Does that seem unfair to you guys at a quick glance?
No, it sounded right to me.
Yeah, I probably would have had Garland 3rd and then Haliburton 4th.
Nick thinks Garland's a better player than Haliburton. Is he right or wrong there?
Well, honestly, it took me forever to – Garland's start to the season was so good that it took me a long time to actually admit that, like, Mitchell was having a better season than Garland for myself. I know that's wrong now, especially because, you know, like, game – I think it was game one of Cavs Heat, where all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, Mitchell turned it up and he was just the best player. Like, Garland was amazing to start this season, man. Like, when he's at his best, he's such a beast. So, yeah, I'm okay with hearing that take out. And, you know, last year I'd run a lot of queries of guys who had similar passing and 3-point shooting numbers to Haliburton, like in NBA history. And Garland's All-Star season made the cut. Like, he was amazing that year too, and that was 2 years ago. He is, I think, one of the more underrated players in the league, especially now that he has a working jaw and can actually, like, catch a basketball and stuff.
Yeah, so Garland's apex is All-Star season. That's the cure that came up the closest.
All I heard was he's got a working jaw. And
Tony, you're
100%
you're too
right.
Nice. Tony, you're too nice.
Tony, looking to Tyrese Haliburton again, were you surprised that he was voted by NBA players one of the most overrated and disliked players in the NBA?
So to be clear, I don't think that the results of that poll are wrong, but I 100% get why players think that. When players talk about, like, what makes other players good, they all talk about like a bag, both in terms of money and like a package of skill moves that make them hard to guard. let's not have Tyrese Haliburton scores. Like, he just crosses over a few times and gets to his shot, or, you know, makes threes, and he is a max contract player. Like, a lot of guys view players they think are overpaid as overrated too around the league. Like, every year it seems like a max player who is playing bad that year wins that poll. Rudy Gobert is always a mainstay up at the top. So that's part of it. He was probably the worst player on the gold medal team, right? That just happened last summer, I think almost certainly. And he started the season quite terribly, like 15 to 20 games of just like, is this guy even a starter level player right now? And I think all that together is just a lot of ammo for people who already, for whatever reason, didn't like him, to be like, yeah, he's overrated. Like, he isn't actually that good. And he's got this goofy jumper form. To be clear, I think he's probably a teensy bit underrated on the whole. Like, nobody can pass and shoot like him in the league except for Garland and Trae Young, basically. And he does it at a higher volume than both of those guys, both because of their teammates' quality and situation and because he's a really good player. And that's why the Pacers are good, is because of the style that he allows them to execute and play. So I totally get why he led that poll. Like, I get it. I get why players feel that way. I just think that they're wrong.
How do the Pacers snipe a couple games from the Cavs? Like, what happens in your mind? What's the formula? What does the box score look like in order to have that happen?
Yeah, they generated a ton of good shots against the Bucks. Like, one of every three possessions, the league does their, like, how open was a shot tracking, and the Pacers led the first round in generating wide-open shots. And the only reason that's relevant to this series is because if they can do that, not to that level, because the Cavs will be better than the Bucks, but at a decently high level, there will be games where their role players just make shots, right? If they're wide open, they'll go in. At times, Aaron Nesmith, Andrew Nembhard, those guys can hit shots. Miles Turner's been good against the Cavs a lot. You know, I think that's one way that they would steal a game or two, is even just a normal game for both teams in terms of playing the way they want, like nothing goofy going on. The Pacers can just make enough of their good looks to actually win. And, you know, I think they defended the Cavs pretty well this season. They have actual size in their front court, like up and down the roster, with Obi Toppin, Miles Turner, Pascal Siakam. Maybe Thomas Bryant plays in the series. Maybe Jairus Walker plays in the series to not be good at stopping Mobley and Allen. Nobody can really do that, but at least be enough of a thorn in their side to make things challenging in a way that there's no way the Cavs just like have a dominant this matchup, go to this every single time bucket kind of thing. And so I think there will be a game, maybe even two, that the Pacers can just win on. I hate this term. I think it's a too dorky way of describing it, but shooting variance, for lack of a better term. And you know, that helped them against. They survived a Gary Trent shooting variance game in game five, but they shot well a lot in that series because they generated wide open shots. If the Cavs defense is awesome, maybe that won't happen. But if the Pacers find a way to keep generating the shots that they like, which they've been good at for two straight years now, they'll certainly give themselves a chance to win one, if not multiple games in this series.
So what is your official prediction for this series?
Yeah, I said Cavs in six when people have asked me. I think that they're similar teams in terms of their profiles. I mentioned that at the start, but the Cavs are just kind of better at most of the things. You know, their defensive level's higher. Their front court defense with Mobley and Allen, I think, is going to end up being the difference in this series. You know, the Pacers have size, but not that level of defensive talent on the floor. And Jared Allen's finishing is just insane. I think I just read or saw that he had more more steals than missed shots in the first round. Like, that doesn't even make sense at the center. That's crazy. So I think the Cavs have lots of advantages to lean on. Obviously, their backcourt combos are amazing, and they'll match up well enough that there's not going to be anything that is really scary to them. I think the Pacers, as they showed last year when they beat the Knicks and played the Celtics tough, they can beat anybody at their best, but this Cavs' best is just better.
All right, you almost made it out of an interview without answering anything about Haliburton Sr. Has he always been that way, or was that just a one-off? What happened there?
No, I don't. He's never done anything like that. He is very proud of his son. Like, he's at a lot of games, certainly, and sits in that same spot all the time. But that was something I've never seen him do that. And I get that it was an intense series with, like, probably the most yapping between players I've seen in a five-game set in my life, in my time covering the Pacers. And I get that he was very emotional in that exact moment because his son just scored 5 points in 17 seconds to steal a miraculous playoff game. But I mean, you can't do that, right? And Tyrese acknowledged it immediately after the game. I think it's the right move to just have him be away for a while and deal with it later. But yeah, I've never seen him do anything like that, even though, you know, in talking to him in the past, like, he is very proud of his son and his family's at a lot of games because they're a very close-knit group. And I think it just, in one moment of rush of emotions, got way too out of hand.
Between Tyrese's dad and Giannis, who do you think would have won in a fight?
How about 100 of Tyrese's dad versus Giannis?
Can this be the gorilla man debate? It's 100 John Halliburtons versus one Giannis Antetokounmpo. Is that fair?
The only way to make it fair.
I don't know. Maybe like 3 John Halliburtons. I think we're giving Giannis a little credit.
Giannis would have ate him like a
snack. He's very naturally nice.
He would have ate him like a snack.
Tony, we appreciate you, buddy. Nice. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Tony East, and I did it again, damn it. Tony East of the Locked On Pacers podcast on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline will react to what he had to say about this Cavs. It brought up a theory that I have when people do series predictions. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Everybody who covers a team or wants to remain or appear unbiased. So in this case, he covers the Pacers. He's not going to hear them say he said Cavs in 5, right?
Well, you mean Pacers fans?
Yes, yes. So he knows, like whatever he does, he can't go too far in favoring the Cavs, because if he's wrong, he'll never hear the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, even if he's trying to be as unbiased gets, it's just, I get what you're saying.
And so I kind of feel like if it's a specific type of series like this, and most of the time when people say, like Brad Doherty said, he thinks it's going to be a 7-game series. I think that means he knows Cavs are going to win in 6 games. I think Tony just there saying Cavs in 6. I think if he really spoke with conviction, he'd say Cavs in 5.
You mean the fact that he even said Cavs in 6 means that he probably could have gone Cavs in 5? That's interesting.
Yes, I think that's across the board.
But what's interesting about Tony, though, and why I don't want to lump him in, is that he talked pretty not great about Tyrese Halliburton. Like, I kind of expected him to come on here and be like, Halliburton's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Halliburton's this, Halliburton's that. He's like, yeah, there's some record you can count about him being overrated. There's some things he doesn't do well. He flat out stunk for the first 2 months of the season. I never saw that coming. Like, imagine having one of our people go on to an Indianapolis station and saying Donovan Mitchell isn't good at basketball or isn't great at basketball and is a little overrated. Like, we'd never think to do that because we've watched him so much and we have so much evidence to the contrary. I thought that was interesting. Maybe we just found the most honest, locked-on, local Pacers guy we possibly could.
I mean, I bet if Danny Cunningham, our locked-on host here in Cleveland, locked-on Cavs, if he went on, I don't even know, the fan in Indy, and they asked him, you know, how's Darius been? He'd be like, he was really bad the last 2 months of the season.
Yeah, I think we just have two outliers there in that equation. Like, if you're trying to, like, you were trying to, in the beginning of it, count out the idea that basically they can't be as unbiased as they want to be because they're local, and so they have to go ahead and play the homer card a little bit. I think Tony and I think Danny just don't do that.
I'm going to tell you right now, 99% of the time, if somebody says Cavs in 6, they mean Cavs in 5. If it's a series like this, specifically like this, but this can be applied otherwise.
Your Cavs in 5 really, is that really Cavs in 4?
No, because I was going to do the same thing. I was going to be like, well, I should say Cavs in 6 because that's a much more respect. No, I had to snap myself out of it. I said, Cavs in 5.
You really wanted to go ahead and stamp down how much better we both think the Cavs are than the Pacers. Shouldn't we be saying it? Cavs in 4?
No.
Okay.
No, because I don't believe the Cavs are getting a sweep. Okay. The Pacers should get a game in the series. They just shouldn't get more than that.
Okay. I mean,
looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Have you made your prediction yet?
I'm not like a massive prediction guy either, though. I never have been. When I do the pregame shows with the Browns, that's like one of the things I've always shied away from.
Well,
I have a single game.
This is like a series of games.
And I'll do it with a set number of games as well. I don't really ever do predictions, though, for series. I don't. So many things can change. So I get no credit for ever getting it right.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely zero.
You don't really get any credit for getting it wrong, though.
No, but you do have people throw it back in your face in an unnecessary way. The risk versus reward, just whatever you want to call it. I've never been enough juice for the squeeze for me.
By the way,
though,
you actually do get credit if you get it right. Like if I call Cavs in five, that would be a small
victory lap. I said Miami in four in the first series. I got zero credit.
I mean, for like a week.
By game two, people forgot I even said it.
For months, I said Shedeur Sanders wasn't worth the number two pick. For the next week, that's all I've heard.
That's not a series.
So draft is different than a game?
For sure it is. Draft, trade, different things like that are way different than saying a prediction for a series.
By the way, I totally heard. I think you actually did hear that. I think you got a lot of credit on social media for you being right about the Heat series.
I went against my typical way of doing it, and I said Cavs in four, and you were aghast at it, if I remember correctly, because you wanted me to give the Heat a little bit more credit than that. I refused to. I got zero credit when it was all said and done.
See, but you just got to get your little credit right there, and now people are going to remember.
And because you remembered it, maybe I'll give us a serious prediction out of this one.
Look at that.
Because
that's
you remembered it.
That's how we build a bridge to Trust City.
If you had not... Because you hadn't brought it up routinely up until this point, by the way. It's not as if you'd been giving me flowers for it or doing anything like that. So it was in my mind, I'm like, well, what was even the point? If Nick's not going to acknowledge it to an extent, or if we're just going to bypass it, what was the point?
Well, in fairness, we just kind of moved on from the Miami series because it was like, what can anyone take away from that series?
Would you like it better if I do predictions?
Maybe not in the NFL season, because I think everybody does them. But yeah. I think for like series base, like in the NBA, you've got to.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to start doing the Browns pregames different. I've been doing that the same way for 10 years. I'm not going to do that different.
Also, individual games in the NFL, like it's just...
I mean, if you listen, you know how I feel about any individual game. In a four-hour pregame, I will more than tell you what I think is going to happen in that game. But then to be like 21-17, I always thought that was just kind of dumb.
All right, see, now I'm going to try to test the theory. Mac, what do you think is going to happen in the series?
Cavs in five.
All right, see, I think he's doing it.
No, the problem
is,
here's the problem, because it's either, the only way to be different than what you already said is say Cavs in four and a sweep seems ridiculous in round two of a series, mm-hmm. and then say Cavs in six means like you're casting down on the Cavs.
And then so I would have said, Cavs in five. I see, I realize, I boxed him in there, that's on me, Matt.
Well, no, me too, though, we're all boxed in. Only thing we can do is just piggyback on your initial Cavs in five, because it just seems like it's the most likely outcome.
I mean, there's enough room on this bandwagon for three or four more.
Then we're just going to be patting each other on the back when it happens. And I mean, listen, we're not shy to that on this show, but like it does feel a little self-serving.
What if today I said Cavs in five, then maybe tomorrow I tweet Cavs in six.
And then you'd be the morning show.
And then maybe on Monday, if the Cavs win, I'll say, I've been saying this whole time, Cavs sweep.
Then you're the LeBron James of sports talk radio.
Okay, I just want—is that on the table? Can I do that?
You can be
seven different outcomes that can happen to the Cavs winning the season.
Yes,
series?
Which was right of Ken to tweet out what he thinks is going to happen with LeBron James' retirement tour, because no one is inside LeBron James' head more than the LeBron James of sports talk radio.
Been saying
I need 100 Cleveland men.
I wasn't even trying to turn this into a bash the the morning show. It just kind of worked out that
so,
way.
So, yeah, if you want to change, you want to change your predictions as they move along, you're open to that, I guess, if you want.
No,
but
Cavs
if you
five.
Say Cavs in five, I think you should lock it into Cavs in five. I think Mac wants to say Cavs in five. I think I want to say Cavs in five. And so it's like, hey, embrace debate on Cavs in five.
I'll go more specific. Cavs win the first three, Pacers take the fourth game, and then Cavs win it at home.
Wow.
That's not how this is going to happen.
I think he won up.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I think he won up your take here. I think he did.
Getting
that specific with it?
No, well, not like,
when it happens.
I'll
I
change
mean,
it up.
He's going to seem like he's going to see Miss Cleo. He's not going to
call him now. No, I'm not going to be more specific. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be lulled into saying the Cavs will win game one, lose game two, and then win the next three games. I'm not going to say that on air because I won't be lulled into saying it. If that's how I thought it might go, which is not maybe, or maybe it is how I think it'll go.
Now, is it alarming to anybody that we all feel this way? That we're all locked in on Cavs in five? Is that a little alarming?
I think that's Midwest insecurity. I think we're being Midwest nice with that.
Well, we're nice in giving them a game.
Wait, that's the nice part?
I think that's the nice part. You're 7.5-point favorites entering game one.
I think giving them two games would be the nice thing. Like,
so what's Midwest nice about it?
Five games? Wait.
Huh?
I think we might be having different conversations.
You said that was Midwest nice. Nice, excuse me. I thought that was based off of five games.
No, sorry. The Midwest nice is us being insecure about, well, if we all agree on this, you know it's not going to work out that way.
Oh, okay.
I think we're just Midwest nice, insecure, however you want to say it.
If the Cavs are in the conversation with Boston the way that national pundits have also said too, I don't know why they don't get the same kind of respect that Boston would if this were a Boston-Indiana series.
Can I tell you why? It's because one team plays in Cleveland and the other plays in Boston and the other does happen to be defending champs.
Boston also took Indiana in four straight games last year in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Mm.
That was a four-game sweep.
So should we expect it now?
If Boston did a four-game sweep last year, maybe the Cavs should be thinking four-game sweep.
No, because they didn't have Mathurin and Halliburton was banged up. The Pacers are healthy, hence the fifth game, not being Midwest nice.
So more confidence in the Cavs in five.
Yeah.
I wish I could tell you I like Cavs in seven. I wish I had Brad Doherty level enthusiasm for this series.
Why would you want a seven-game series?
No. It's not that I want it. It's just the idea that if the line was a 1.5-point spread and we're like, oh, we have to look and monitor it this way. No, this is in my mind, this is going to feel much more like the Miami series than it will the Boston series and how we view this and how we watch it.
I'll double down. Not on the Cavs. Celtics in six. I think that series actually will be better. I think it'll be closer, and I think the Celtics will take two out of four games from Boston. And I feel better.
I think Celtics in five. I'll say it with my chest. Celtics in five.
I think the Knicks are fraudulent. I think you want to say Celtics in six, but
no,
you
don't. I don't. I watched this
not
Knicks.
The reverse
I watched way too much of the Knicks series. I'm very out on what New York Knicks basketball is right now.
Mm. Mac,
I think it's a Boston sweep.
One up all of us.
I think that Detroit wore them down, and especially with the way that Thibodeau runs his rotations, I think Boston's going to be able to
I think
wear them
Orlando
out
wore down Boston too. I think both teams are more wore down. I'm making this up on the Boston thing. I just think it's going to be Boston in six. See, now we have the kind of disagreement that I think really makes sense. Now we're cooking with gasoline.
Now we're Boston in six, Boston in five, Boston in four.
Yeah, now this makes
this
a lot more sense.
This is how we battle.
Yeah, which is also why that series is going to get so much more interest. Also because they play in Boston and they play in New York. But because it's going to be the better series.
Yeah, how many people are going to... Hopefully, the goal is by the end, like by game five, people are like, why are we watching this? Which is what happened for all the national media by game three of the Miami series.
Oh, are you saying for the Cavs?
Yeah, that's
like,
the goal.
We're like, by game four, we were like, okay, wrap it up.
By game four.
Actually, by game four, Miami was
by game
up,
four,
babe.
The national media is like, this is the night I get to take out my wife. This is the night that I get to go ahead and run my errands. I get to do anything else in life than watch
the NBA.
I thought
you meant like with a hitman.
No, not with a hitman. Advice, if you think you know a hitman, you don't.
216-474-0092. Let's
all these,
go.
All these crime shows, they always get caught because they think they find a hitman on Facebook. You don't know a hitman, and hitmen don't live on Facebook.
Well, some of them do. You just got to find the right one.
You don't know a hitman.
No. Sid, welcome to the show, Sid.
Oh.
Oh.
How are you guys doing? I'm going to simplify this all for you. Pacers, Cavs in four. Celtics, Cavs in four. Oh.
Oh.
The finals against the Lakers, Cavs in four.
Oh!
I'm telling you, that's how simple it is.
Can you simplify anything else for us?
Believe me. Yeah, this older guy goes to his country club, and he sees a priest on the first tee, and he goes up to him. He goes, Father, he goes, you know, I've been playing golf my whole life. He goes, I need to know, is there golf in heaven? And the priest says, you know, that's a good question. You know what I'll do? Tonight in my prayers, I'll talk to the Lord. I'll ask him. So a week goes by, and the old guy's on his sees the priest on the first tee, and he goes, hey, do you remember me? Did you find out if there's golf in heaven? He goes, yeah, I remember you. And he goes, good news and bad news. He's like, well, it's good news. He goes, the good news is a beautiful golf course up in heaven. Beautiful fairways, beautiful greens, not much hazards, yeah, this and that. He's like, that sounds great. He's like, well, what's the bad news? He goes, well, you tee off in 30 minutes.
Oh!
You guys have the best show. You guys have the best show in the world. Love you. Miss you, Jonathan.
Love you, Sigmund.
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov.
Gosh, I like that energy. You just, everything that I said, I went full Dice Clay on. Like Cavs in five. Oh, I wouldn't be on the radio, but I would have a lot of fun in the small amount of time that I was on radio. 216-474-0092. Don't say what you think is the respectable prediction for this series. I want to know what you really think. Cavs in five in a big moment for somebody on our show. Something to celebrate in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Trevor Sikkema coming up in about 40 minutes here. We'll get his thoughts on, are the Browns one of the worst or better rosters in the NFL? We're really just going to ask him, are the Browns one of the three worst rosters in the NFL? I was just couching it because I'm a coward. But we'll also get his thoughts on whether he likes Shador for the Browns more now that he slid to the fifth round there. And Real Sour 12 asking, did he miss the results of the scratch-off tickets? Have you guys missed Was that yesterday? Was that 2 days ago?
That was 2 days ago.
All right, so 2 days ago, in the 5 o'clock hour, I went downstairs to get my lottery tickets, and one of our sales guys, Dustin, was down there, and he had played the same lottery tickets like three or four straight times, and there are $20 ones. He hadn't hit on them, and so I, out of sheer spite, bought the rest of the roll, which was four tickets, and I was like, this again. And Dustin called it. He's like, you're going to win. You're going to win like $500. You're going to win $1,000. You're going to win $25,000. Because of course, that's how it happens. I won $30.
Well, you lost 50.
Yeah. No. I won 30.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Lost 50.
I would like to. I think people, when you win a lottery ticket, you think about what you won, not what you lost.
Okay.
Yeah. That's how the game is played.
I forgot to tell Dustin about it, too. I saw him downstairs, and I was going to tell him about it because you hadn't. I'm sure you didn't text him and tell him that you.
No, I did see him yesterday, and I told him, and he didn't get as much satisfaction out of my failures as
okay.
I would have liked.
I like that reaction, because this should just be all of us against the state lottery, should it not?
No.
This isn't the Hunger Games. This isn't every man for themselves. This is us against the lottery.
No, like with I said this the other day.
I mean, you sniped his ticket. There's no debating that.
Yeah,
he was going to go back and buy another ticket. You sniped his ticket.
Yeah.
But once you were in line and he didn't make that move, guess what? We got to root for you now.
No. It's me versus everyone because there are certain people I want to win. If you played, I'd want you to win, right? I'd like more for your family. My mom wins. I said the other day, if my mom won like the $80 million tonight in the Mega Millions, I'd weep. I'd cry for her. I'd be so happy for her because she deserves something like that in her life for everything she's gone through in her life, including raising and putting up with me. But no, I don't like when I see somebody walk out and they're like, I just won $5,000. I hate him a little bit.
Oh, you hate him? Yeah. Why?
Because it's not me getting the $5,000.
Even if you didn't buy the ticket at all, you were just in the vicinity, and this person comes out running and is like, I just won $5,000 on a scratchy lotto. This is the greatest thing ever. You're just like, you SOB.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Yeah. No, screw off, friend. Actually, no, we're not friends. Okay, for instance, there's a guy who won the $167 million Powerball last weekend.
Is this the one that got arrested
he
3 days later?
He just got arrested.
I saw that story.
For assaulting a police officer. Yeah. I'm like,
well, he assaulted a police officer. I'm like,
Lord, if you had given me that money, I'm not out here punching cops. I'm out here, hey, Mr. Policeman, I'm feeling good today. Here's $500. I'm just handing out $500 randomly to people. I'd be so much better at winning the lottery than most people.
Isn't that a version of hell? You know, winning the lottery and then being sent to jail like 3 days later. I don't know how long he's going to go to jail for, but let's say you're like 65 years old and you get like a 30-year prison sentence for something that happened before you won the lottery, and then you won the lottery, and then you're in jail and you can't spend any of it except for, like, you know, commissary.
No,
like,
you can,
sweet, you got you, a lot of
you can spend some of that to buy protection. Now we're talking.
Well, you fill up everyone else's commissary, I guess.
Well, not
you'd
everyone.
Still have, you'd have
few,
people attacked.
A few key people, yeah. You know, a couple people who protect you from certain other people. Yeah, absolutely.
Man, I think what we've learned today is me and you just, we view prison just very, very differently, don't we?
I understand the game, and I think you yeah. I think you would be out on an island, and it would not be good for you.
I'm not disagreeing with me being out on an island in prison.
Now, that being said,
no part of that is a disagreement.
I want to go ahead and make a very special announcement here. Our very own Jake Murren is going to his very first hockey game tonight. Jake, tell the people, come on, because we have a few particulars we got to get to with this, yes?
Yeah, so like you said, Nick, going to my very first hockey game tonight, the Cleveland Monsters in a playoff game at Rocket Arena.
That is a good way to start it, by the way. In the playoffs.
Yeah, going
to
be a rowdy atmosphere.
And like if you go to like a random AHL, you know, minor league hockey game, you just never know. Like, is it going to be a good game? What's the crowd going to be like? Those crowds can fluctuate. A playoff, any level of playoff hockey. It could be high school playoff hockey. And I'm telling you, there's going to be some energy there.
Jake,
we like this.
You're going to take my advice tonight or no?
I think I have to, Jonathan, because I don't know anything about hockey. And if I sit there sober, I'm not going to know what's going on in front of me.
My advice is just get drunk.
Yeah, you won't know if you're drunk either, but it'll be more fun that way.
Yeah, for sure. I know nothing about the sport. I don't even know who the Monsters are playing tonight. I'm just going for the experience. And yeah, I mean, it's my first postseason game I'm attending as a fan. It so happens to be hockey, a sport I've shown no interest in my entire life.
I think this is the beginning of a hockey hooligan. It only takes one game. It really does. I went to one hockey game when I was in sixth grade. And guys, I go back a couple times a year. I've been out to Chicago for the Hawks game. So, like, this is how it starts.
I would say don't.
I agree.
Don't get drunk and ask him to ride the Zamboni, though. Okay, like you got to be careful. Remember where you are.
I actually think the question here is: have you let your wife know that you're planning on doing the drinking?
So I haven't, and I don't know how I break that news to her because we have one car because she's driving up here with my brother-in-law and sister. We're going to the game as together in a group of four. So she doesn't love driving my car home, but you know she might have to tonight.
You worked a long week. Just tell her, just lay it out for her simply. Like, this is what's going to happen. Now, remember, in between the second and third period, Jake, they do throw stuffed animals on the ice. So make sure you bring your stuffed animal tonight to throw on the ice, okay?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a stuffed animal to do that, but I'm also learning about that for the first time.
Bring the stuffed animal. And then in between the second and third periods, everyone throws the stuffed animal on the ice. And it's hundreds of stuffed animals all on the ice. It's a fantastic time. Nick, tell them about the stuffed animal tradition.
I don't do that crap. No. I'm there for beer and hockey. All right? None of the tomfoolery.
There is no stuffed animal tradition.
Yeah, that... We could still sell the fight.
You weren't selling the fight. You gave up on the fight.
No, I think you gave up on the fight.
I had to. You high-roaded it.
Man, you just bail at the easiest possible moment.
I think you guys both believed that was an actual thing, and neither one of you guys wanted to touch it.
No, I totally thought it was real.
Ah, you see,
look what you did.
I wish you would have played along. We would have had Jake there with this stuffed animal ready between the second and third periods to drunkenly throw it on the ice. You probably would have got kicked out of the game.
I would have texted my wife to buy a stuffed animal on the way to Cleveland just for us to do it.
Why did you kill the bit?
You killed the bit.
I was focusing on many of things right now. Jake, so
classic bit killer. Nick
I don't know if we actually should do this because Keith is texting us, so I don't know if this is a real bit or not. Why don't you Google real quick who the Monsters are playing tonight, and then tell us just in case anybody out there, if you want tickets to the game, you want to know, you know, get some details for the people out there.
Okay, Nick, I'll do it right away. Right on it, Nick.
Can't wait to tell you that answer, Nick.
By the way, that is a very bad version of... Mac just raised his eyebrow. You want to do it, Mac?
Nope.
Okay.
No. Wait, I'll do it. I mean, come on.
I like that.
You need to volunteer. I'll do it. I have no idea who they're playing tonight.
I can see that they're playing the Rocket, but I can't see their city.
This is great radio.
I don't know who they're playing, and I can't find it.
Big thanks to the assist here.
Is it Lavelle? Lavelle Rocket?
I don't know. Is it?
I don't know.
You're the one looking at it.
Now, what is funny to me is that it's the Monsters versus Rocket at the Rocket.
Oh.
So advantage goes to the Rockets, you would think, in the scenario, right? You're playing at the arena named after you.
I do think the Rocket won game one.
Mm. Rocket always wins. All right. Well, good luck there. I'd make sure she knows before she drives up. That's what I would say. Or just don't tell her. Yeah, no in between. Either you tell her, honey, I hope you know it. I hope it's okay. You're going to drive us home tonight. I'm going to get my drink on. Or you just let her figure it out as you just pound like three beers the second she gets there.
Yeah, I think not telling her is the way to go.
I like this.
No, that's not the way to go. You got to give her a little bit of a heads up.
I've been married longer than you.
Yeah, I know. But, you got to give her a little bit of a heads up.
Send
her a text now. Say, I'm thinking about having some beverages tonight.
Some beverages. But don't let her run on the plan until she sees the master working.
Yeah, she doesn't have to know you're going to turn into Bert Kreischer tonight. Just let her ease into it.
This great hockey radio brought to you by Keith Britton. Now, the Browns quarterback debacle coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Keith, you know? Oh, watch out for Keith.